for the first time, we have Tosh and his family. Tosh has come here a couple of times on Wednesday nights. And we've had tremendous things happen. The Word of God he's preached here has always been timely, prophetic. It's what God's been speaking to our church. I met him through a mutual friend named Susie Tapp, who's just a fireball for Jesus. She's ministering all over the world herself out of Brisbane, Australia. You guys are from Brisbane as well, that area. And so his wife is here today named Vicky. She's back with the children right now. They have five children. I know their children. The firstborn is Daniel, same as our son. Firstborn's Daniel. They have one named Hannah. They have one named Zoe, the same name as Arthur Gregory's little daughter back there as well. And then there's also two children, I think. Was it Rebecca? Christy and Lily. Okay, Christy and Lily. Those two I couldn't get. But those five children are precious. They're up there in the nursery and the children's church right now. Tosh has a special work he does, not just in Australia and America. He's also ministering in Africa, helping people out there in missions work, evangelism, works with Reinhard Bonnke sometimes. And so I want him to also give us some more details about what he's doing overseas, how we can help him out perhaps with that. Let's go ahead and give a warm Tree of Life Church welcome right now to evangelist Tosh Sturgis.
Good morning. Can you hear me? You can. Wonderful. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you that your word is powerful to transform our lives. We thank you that we get to spend this day in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that though we are divided by land and sea and culture and so many different ways, but all over the world today, Lord, people are honoring you and giving the first day into your hands, that you would speak to us and that you would build our lives, Lord, that we would be the people that you see us as being, Lord, that we would fulfill the potential that you've packed into us. And we pray, God, in these few short moments that we look into your word, help us all leave this place richer and more empowered, powered by you, Lord God, and ready to bear your fruit in the world that we live, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. 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 My name is Tosh Sturgis. I'm an evangelist. I've been traveling in itinerant ministry for about 5 years now. Prior to that, Vicky and I, we got sort of slingshot into ministry. On our wedding day, my pastor came to me and said, you're going to go and plant a church. And we said, wow, that was a bit of a wedding present for us. So 13 months later, we had our firstborn son, Daniel. And then 2 months later, we went and planted a church. And all the rules that they told us about church planting, I think we went and broke them all. You had to be married for 2 years and not have a kid under the age of two. And there was all these different rules. And I was working in the wrong sort of industry at that point in time. I was working in the liquor industry. That's where I got saved. I was living and working in the pub. That's what I was doing. And I was 21 years of age. I'd started working there when I was 18 because the legal age in Australia is different to what it's like here in the US. But when I got saved, it was darkness and then it was light. You know what I'm saying? It was night. I was living in the heaviness and the brokenness of this world. And just like that, I met Jesus and everything changed. Amen. Amen. And I'm sure there's been one or two more in the room just like that as well. And I'm a testimony to, if God can do it for that guy, he can do it for you. And I'm that guy. I can tell you some stories that would turn your toenails backwards, but I won't get into that here because the church is a decent place. But I tell you, when I got saved, I got saved. I got saved from death and I got conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so it's really just been a journey for me where I've watched God add to my life, all of the black holes of my life. He filled those in and He's given me an amazing woman. He gave me a wife who was raised on the mission field. I knew nothing about Christian life or Christian theology or Christian family, but through the grace of God, He's built me up and He's given me an amazing wife. And now, through the grace of God, we spend a large portion of our year on the road traveling. I travel more than Vicky and the kids do. They're often at home in Brisbane, but when we come to the US, we travel together here. So we 4 weeks ago arrived in Los Angeles, and we were 2 weeks in California, a week driving through to Texas, been in Texas just over a week now. We head out to Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania, through the rest of the trip, and then we fly out of Dallas-Fort Worth in about 2 months' time. So having shared all of that with you, let me tell you about our work in Africa. I have a partner in ministry who has been trained up through Reinhard Bonnke's organization. Anybody here heard of Reinhard Bonnke? He's recently some missiologists, who are, I guess, like people who study mission work. They have recently sort of sat down and looked at the population of the world and where all of the people are getting saved and who's been the people leading the ministry that's been doing that, and looking at which organizations are being the most fruitful. And his organization is called Christ for All Nations, not to be confused with Christ for the Nations, CFAN, Christ for All Nations. And they are predicting that Christ for All Nations has seen more first-time decisions for Jesus Christ than any other organization or institution before. And it's because of the system that they have in Africa. Now, the world that we live in these days, it's a changing place. We don't understand the economy of scale that is to bear in some of these nations like India. They have a nation there that's about twice the size of Texas with over 1 billion people living in it. Can you imagine going to a city? I mean, you've got cities here of 4 and 5 million people, but a city that's half the size of Austin, but with 20 million people living in it. I'll tell you how it works. You walk out into the street, and you look down the street this way, and literally there's 10,000 people on the road. And you look down the street that way, and there's 10,000 people. And you look down this road here, and there's 10,000 people. And the trucks and the cars go by, and the people kind of fan in and move out, and there's traffic just everywhere. It's incredible. But you know what that means for the church? It means that this is the greatest days of harvest for us. This is the greatest opportunity for us to go to these places where there are millions and millions and millions of souls and preach the gospel. Go and fulfill our part in the Great Commission. And I believe in this day and age that God is raising up in this generation a burden in the hearts of the body of Christ that want to see the great Commission fulfilled. Amen. The great call of God for all tribes and all tongues to hear the work of God and to hear and have an opportunity to respond to what Jesus did on the cross, to have an understanding and it put before them that, hey, you can be saved and go to heaven for all of eternity. And so my partner in Africa has been running rigs, a crusade rig in Africa, and just recently he did a crusade there. We kind of worked together with the rig there, and he, this is my little iPad, but imagine it's the truck. They're driving it out of the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has only just opened up. They've had a regime change there recently, and industry is welcome there, and also kind of is the gospel as well. So he's got a driver there, because you don't want to drive on the African roads unless you're a local, because it's, you know what I'm saying? When you get into the third world, it's like, you drive me. Please, you drive me. I'll drive where they obey the traffic signs, where the stoplight means something. That's where I'll drive. You can drive here, you say to your guide. Anyway, so he's driving along, and our rig has hit a pothole, and it's dropped into the pothole, and the front end has bounced up, which totally wrecked the suspension in the front end. But then the back end hit the same pothole and flipped the whole truck. With all the crusade rig in the back, the only thing that survived was our sound desk and a few microphones. So everything else was made of wood and just got smashed to smithereens. And so later on, you guys are going to take up an offering for us. But that's what we do. That's the burden of our heart. In the Western churches, I teach and I train on the Holy Spirit. We've seen God do incredible things. We've seen God pull people out of wheelchairs and deaf ears open up and blind eyes get healed. And just last year in Australia, we saw a case of terminal cancer get healed. We had this man who wasn't even in our city. He was 2 days, 1,200 miles away in a completely different city. But his cousin was there. And God had challenged me in the morning to share a word of knowledge that there's people in the church who are suffering from terminal illnesses and we have to pray for them. So we prayed for people. And this woman stopped me and she said, "You're not praying for me. You're praying for my cousin in Melbourne." And I said, "Okay." So we prayed in the name of Jesus. Well, I was back in that church about 2 months later. Releasing my book. I've just released a book a little while ago, and that's actually going to be available if you want to pick it up here. It's called Simple Supernatural. I believe the power of God is simple. It's not complicated. Amen. God doesn't make it complicated for us. He loves us, and he wants us to represent his heart of love. Anyway, that's another story. So I pray for this guy, and I'm releasing the book, and she's there, and she says, "Pastor, I should have gotten in contact with you before now." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, you prayed for me a couple of months ago, but it was actually my cousin in Melbourne, and he went into the doctors that same week. He went back into the hospital in Melbourne, and they examined him before they continued his radiotherapy because they wanted to see the extent to which his cancer had been growing. Now, he had cancer that had completely eaten out his left lung, and his right lung had a tumor that was growing through it, and they'd given him about 6 weeks to live. And so she said when we prayed for him, the doctors couldn't understand what they were looking at when they gave the examination, when they interviewed the examination and the scan, because the lung that was completely destroyed was now completely restored. Amen. Glory to God. And the lung that had the cancer eating through it, that cancer was now in remission. Praise God. You know, he is in the miracle working business just up in Bakersfield, California. I had a word of knowledge just at the end of the meeting. God's been doing this a lot lately where God had spoken to me before the meeting about someone who'd been in a car accident and three of the discs down the bottom of their back were wrecked and they couldn't afford to go and get medical help for that. And so I preached away and we probably had about 30 or 40 people come to Christ that morning. It was awesome. It was a Spanish church. It was really cool. I had to preach with an interpreter. It was kind of cool. I'm used to doing that overseas, but not in America, but that's fun. And so I gave this word of knowledge and up stands this man up the back and he stands up with his cane. And I mean, he wasn't joking. He had a cane and he was kind of struggling to get past the people in his row and he struggled out. And then he made it to the aisle here. He's up the back here. And I thought, okay, now that he's made it out, he'll be able to move down. And he was walking like this, walking ever so slowly. And I said to him before we prayed, I said, how do you feel? And he's like, I've got really bad pain and it defers down my right leg. And that's kind of part of the word of knowledge that I'd had. And it was all very specific, but very accurate. Nonetheless, thank God for that. And so we prayed for him. And then he said, I just feel hot all over my body. And he started sweating. And so I said, just come and sit down and we'll keep praying. So we started praying for people at the end of it. At the end of that meeting, he walks up to me and he's got his walking stick in his hand. And he says, I can't feel any pain in my leg anymore. And something's happened in my back. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling like all of the pain is going. Glory to God. Amen. Then, and I thank God that in this day and age, those stories are becoming much, much, much more common than they were even 5 years ago. I remember being here in this church 3 years ago, and there was a man sitting up the back there who had a hearing aid, and I'd prayed for him about a year before when I was in America, and God had taken his other hearing aid out of his other ear, right? And then this meeting, he came forward, and for prophecy, God had told me to start prophesying over people. I remember it. I remember being in your church, and I prophesied over him, and I kept moving. He said he went and sat up the back, and then he took his hearing aid out of his other ear because it became too loud for him. Went home, and he threw it on his bedside table, and he's never put it back in again. And I saw him a couple of weeks later after that, and he told me the story. And you know what? God is accelerating the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our communities. Amen. God is doing a work in this day and age. I believe that. Thank God, it's not dependent on one person anymore. Amen. It's not dependent on that guy who sees miracles, like Pastor Wigglesworth used to see the miracles, or Pastor John G. Lake. You know, and everyone used to come to flock around F.F. Bosworth's ministry and A.A. Allen and all of the great names. And we thank God for those pillars who have set us up with an understanding of what the normality of God's ways are. But I believe we're coming to a time, and oh, it burns in my bones, that we are going to know that as the reality of our existence as the body of Christ. Amen. God is raising us up, because my Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 4 that my job is to train and equip us as the body so that we can all do the work of the ministry. Amen. And what happens on Sunday in ministry in the church, this is the training ministry that equips us for the real world ministry out beyond these doors. Amen. I've got a church that I preached for in Singapore. And every time you leave, a great big banner across the top of the door, it says, you are now entering the mission field. Because they see themselves as a training ground there. And it's true. I believe in this day and age, we are going to believe God for those things that have just been, oh God, could I ever do that? Would I ever do that? You know, am I being proud? You know what? I believe the fire of God is starting to burn in our hearts in this generation. And going to places like Costa Rica, or going to places like Mozambique, Africa, or going to places like Kenya, or the Congo, or going to the Philippines, or whatever it is that's burning in your heart, I believe we're going to get a faith about us that just says, you know what? I'm going to believe that God's going to be there for me every step of the way, and I'm going to make a difference for him. And you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to be glorified by it all. I want to walk away, and I don't want those people to say, wow, who was that amazing man of God? I don't want that. I want people to walk away and say, I don't remember who that joker was, but I met God here today. Hallelujah. And if we try to make ourselves to have a ministry where, you know, we are all that in a bag of potato chips, Really, all we're doing is we're operating out of pride. But if we get that, whole worldview and that whole mindset and just put it to the side and say, with that out of the picture now, God, what is it that you would have me do? I lay all of my fears about not being good enough. I lay them on the cross. I lay all of my pride on the cross. And I turn from that on my bended knees and I say, God, here I am. Use me. Yeah. And according to the word that you give me, I'm going to follow that because I know that you're going to glorify yourself through me. And I don't think it needs to be any more complicated than that. Hallelujah. So turn with me in your Bibles, please. Let's get to the Word of God. Who likes the Word of God? I'm going to ask that one more time. Who likes the Word of God? Yeah. This is your life. This Word is your life. This Word is our place of interaction with the unlimited resources of heaven and the broken limitation of earth. The Word of God gives us the parameters of how to live out that Word that, like Jesus said, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and God is not limited. The heavenly realm and God himself is not limited by the things that limit you and I. Amen? He's not limited by it. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name, all we can do is operate in the authority of God. But because his power is unlimited, he's the one who can come and change things. So we are dependent on him to actually turn up and do something. So let me ask you this. What's God speaking to you about? Because I believe that you can do that. What's God speaking to you about to do in a spirit of humility and a spirit of self-sacrifice and a spirit of joy and a spirit of wanting to serve others? That thing that burns within your heart, that if you're like me, sometimes you say, oh, gee, could I ever do that, God? God, could we ever really see that happen? Well, I believe we're coming to a place where we're going to settle those issues and we're going to say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. Amen. It's not by might. Thank God it's not by power that I carry, but it's by his Spirit. And that's what he says in Zechariah, hallelujah. And I reckon I want to just share this with you. What God is burning in your heart to do, you can go and do that, not by your might, not by your power, but by his Spirit. And you know, God gave us a vision with our crusade ministry. My ministry in Africa, it's partnered with an evangelist called Carl Butler, and we're calling it the 5 million mission because we have a goal, Carl and I, 1 million each. We want to believe to see 1 million people each by 2020 come to Christ. And we're seeing crusades with between 20 and 25,000 people come to Christ in one crusade setting. And we believe by 2020 we can have enough crusades to actually see that fulfilled because they get bigger and bigger every time and more people come. And so that's our vision. But we've also got a vision to bring others into it. We're believing to see increase of other ministries to come and use our rig in Africa to be a part of that harvest as well. And I mean, who am I to believe to be a part of something for that many people? Well, it's not about me anymore. Amen? It's about what he has. And who are you to believe to be a part of whatever God's placing in your heart? Well, it's not about you anymore, amen? Because my Bible tells me that I died and that my life is now hidden with Christ in God. So that means the life that we have is not open and visible like it says this in the book of Colossians. It's not something that we can give a 54-point plan on and say, well, today I'm going to do step 7 and tomorrow I'm going to do step 8. Well, the Bible tells me that our life is a mystery, that our life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so whatever he reveals about what's going to be happening, well, that's what we embrace, amen? Oh, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, so help me God, amen? I'm going to lay a hold of him for that which he has laid a hold of me. And I believe that that's the spirit of our church, amen? That's the spirit of our generation. And so in the Bible here, in the book of 2 Corinthians, please flip with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. And I want to talk this morning on about our connection with God, our relationship with God and the importance of it. And I said before that I believe the most powerful things in God, they're not complicated. We are complicated. People are complicated. We have layers and we have agendas and we have things we don't say because we don't want them to think something of us. And that's kind of how we are. But the things of God are very, very simple. See, the cross was not complicated. The cross was very simple. The cross was Jesus dying to offer us freedom. That's what it was all about. Offer us a second chance at life with God. And it's now Jesus who came, who died on the cross. And in John chapter 14, he actually said this. He said, you know what? It's good that I go from being with you, because I'm going to go back to the Father. And the Apostle Peter said, yeah, look, that's pretty good wisdom, Jesus, but I think I know better than you. You know, let me tell you this. Don't go, because we really do need you here. Could you have like a conference, a tele? Could you Skype the Father for me and just tell him that we really need you here, Jesus? And Jesus is like, man, you don't understand. See, if I go, the Holy Spirit can come. And when he comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. The path that you need to walk in God, he's not going to lead you down the path of a lie. He's going to lead you in the path of truth. And sometimes the skinny path, sometimes the narrow path. When I first got saved, I couldn't understand it. I was thinking, like Jesus talked about, there are on the wide path, it's broad, and there are many who go by it. And that's the path that leads to destruction. But the narrow path, you should go by the narrow path, because that's the path that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And I used to think, Jesus, why didn't you make the good path that leads to life the wide path? And the path to hell, the skinny path. Because we want more people saved. And your word even says that it's not your will that any should perish. You know, what's up with that, Lord? But then I began to see that when God leads us, he leads us into all truth. He leads us by the Spirit of truth, the Bible even calls him in John chapter 12 and John 14, 15. It tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so as we walk with him, he reveals to us our path. And that path isn't very wide. And that's the path that he wants us to walk on. It's the path, not just the path of you're not allowed to lie, and you're not allowed to steal, and you're not allowed to do these things. And yes, that's all true. But the life of God is so much greater than these commandments that say, you can't do this and you can't do that. That's actually the voice of legalism if that's all you've got going on in your heart. Because Jesus told us that he has come, the devil comes to kill and steal and destroy, but he's come to give us life and life to the full. That's the plan of God for us, is that we would walk in life to the full. And the life of God is releasing us into the ways of eternity here on earth. The ways of God that have blessing inside of them, that have renewal for our cities, that have healing for our families, that have restoration for broken marriages. We see the church become a hub for that. The church become a hub for healing. We see the church become a hub for speaking into the problems of our community. That's what God is doing in the church. That's what God has always wanted for us. And I believe that's what we're being raised into in this day and in this age. But so that narrow path is actually the path of relationship. That narrow path is the path of bounty and the path of prosperity. You're not just talking about financial prosperity, you know, the prosperity of our heart, the prosperity of our soul, the prosperity of our family, the prosperity of our businesses. That narrow path is the path where all of the blessings of God are, amen? And so as he calls us onto that path, it's the Holy Spirit who we are in relationship with all of the way through. And so as we walk and as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit down our path into the destiny that he has called for us, and as we believe for more than we've ever seen before, and as we believe to see God impact more people than we've ever seen it happen before, it's important to understand how he's going to be speaking to us, amen? It's important for us to understand when he speaks, what is he like? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, right here, the Apostle Paul says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So wherever God is, wherever the Holy Spirit is, you will find the signature, the spiritual signature of freedom. Another version says right here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom also. And so we see here that that Greek word being translated as liberty and as freedom, that is the signature that we are to look for when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is a voice that says to you, yes, you can. You can come over that mountaintop. You can get over that addiction. You can break the shackles of that word that was spoken over you when you were 7 years of age. You can break through that barrier of sickness that's holding you back. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice that says, come on, rise up. Rise up with God and walk in faith and believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Like the psalmist said, I would have given up hope. I would have lost courage if I had not believed I would see the goodness of God in the here and the now. I'm sick of waiting for another 2 years to see God do something. I want to see people get changed here today. Amen. I want to see our family strengthened here today. Amen. I want to see the sick get healed today. Amen. And if you're in this house today and you've never given your life to God, or you've walked in such a fashion where you've walked away from Him, I believe that now is the hour for you to get your life straight. Amen. Now is the hour for you to lay a hold of God's heavenly promises for your life. That stuff that burns within you that you're thinking, oh man, I wish my life could be X, or I wish my life could be Y, or I wish my life could be Z. You know, generally that comes from the image of God that we're made in. That's called to live in dignity. That's called to live in healing. That's called to live in prosperity. That's called to live in well-roundedness, because the Bible tells us that He has given us His peace to live in. And that word peace is the word shalom, which means everything in its place with nothing missing and nothing broken. Isn't that beautiful? That's the plan of God for our life. Everything to be whole. That's like he talked about, like Paul talked about, where he said he prayed for the church in Corinth, and he said there that you would be whole and complete and lacking nothing. That's the plan of God for our lives. And from that place of having received so much from God, freely we've received, we can freely give it away. But as we interview the issues of our lives that are challenges to us and that are more than what we can understand how to get through, let's listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because where He is liberty. He brings liberty. So that means if there's a voice of heaviness or a voice of condemnation, oh, you call yourself a Christian. I saw what you said at work the other day. You call yourself a Christian. I noticed that you didn't give your full tithe. You know, that voice of condemnation, that's actually a voice of works. It's not a voice of grace. And if it was that you said something at work the other day and you didn't give your full tithe, don't ever do it by the spirit of works. Oh, I've got to do this, or the foot of God's going to come out of the heavens and squash me like out of a Monty Python movie or something. That's not who God is. That's not how God operates. God wants you to give your tithe. He wants you to walk in holiness out of a response from what He's done to you. So I would say to you, don't get on your knees and repent and say, I'm such a filthy sinner, please forgive me, only to walk under condemnation again. Get on your knees and repent and say, God, I've fallen short of all that you have for me. Help me to live according to all that you promise I can have. I don't have to struggle with sin because you died to sin, amen? I need your life in me, not another recognition of how much I can get it wrong. God, fill me with your life. Help me to be more full than I was when I was walking that broken way. Help me be redeemed by the power of your blood, that I can walk bigger and taller and stronger than that thing that had the victory over me. Amen. So we draw upon His power, not our own. Amen. And so if that voice comes to you that ever tries to get in your ear and tries to get you to operate out of that voice of heaviness, stand in your two feet and say, get behind me, Satan. In your two feet, in those two shoes that you bought ever long ago, stand in them and say, in the name of Jesus, you leave me, you spirit of condemnation, because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty in that place. That's the signature of the Holy Spirit being around us. And that's the voice of the Holy Spirit that leads us into His grace, where we can see the impossible happen, because it's not about us, it's about Him, amen? It's not about what we can do, it's about us emptying what we can do and saying, here it is, Lord, the empty vessel, just use it however best you see fit. And then Him coming through and doing more than what we could ever imagine. And now we'll go on here in verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with an open face, behold as in a glass the glory of God. Or it says in another place, it's in another translation, it says, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, you and I, when we look through glass in the 21st century, we see a clear picture of what's on the other side. Or when we look in a mirror, we see a clear reflection of who we are in the mirror. So when we read this, we kind of miss out on the first century impact of what the apostle was saying. See, what he was saying was that a first century glass was nothing like what we have. It was made out of silicon, similar sort of thing, and fried in a furnace, but it was just full of all kinds of other stuff. And it was opaque kind of glass that you could not see through. So if you saw someone coming through your piece of glass, you wouldn't be able to tell who they were. All you'd be able to see was like a rough outline of who they are. And a mirror, same picture as well. A mirror wasn't like what we have for a mirror in our day and age. A mirror was like a polished piece of brass. That's how they did their makeup. That's how they did their hair, was in a polished piece of brass. And when they went and looked at themselves inside the mirror, it would be like you and I when we go to the madhouse at the local fair, where we go to those mirrors and they make us look funny and all that sort. That's what the polished brass was like in those days. So what the apostle is saying here is he's telling us that when we behold the glory of the Lord, we can't quite see exactly everything that we would like to see. It's not as detailed as we would like. Me, when I shave in the morning, I want to know that I don't have a great big tuft of hair sitting out the side here. I want that perfect reflection of what I see. And you and I are like that spiritually. When we come into the presence of God, we want more than what we can see. And sometimes if the enemy can get in the back of our mind, we can even leave disappointed. Amen? But the Bible is telling us here that when we interact with God and when we see God, what we see of Him, we don't see everything that we would like, but we get the general outline of what we need to see from God. See, God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight, because faith calls us, it draws upon the best of who we are to say, you know what, God, I'm going to step out in faith because I believe your word more than what I believe what I can see and what I can judge with my own intellect. I'm going to believe what your spirit is doing within me. Amen. Because we got to confront our flesh with that. Amen. We got to confront our flesh and say, you know what? I'm going to choose to step out on the evidence that God has given me rather than the evidence that I want. God, with what you've said to me, that's enough for me. And I'm going to praise you and I'm going to obey you according to what you've given me. I'm going to walk by faith according to what you've told me, and I'm just going to believe you for the increase. I'm going to believe you to do the work. And I could tell you story after story of how in my life we've taken steps of faith. The first time I ever went to Africa, I had to raise $4,500 for some crusades and some pastors training. Now in these days, I mean, that looks like nothing, but that was a lot of money for me. That was about 3-4 years ago. Had to do some crusades and some pastors training. We had to raise some money to pay for some bits and pieces, you know, crusade bits and pieces. So I had my ticket and that I didn't have that paid for. I didn't have the money raised. I didn't have anything. And it was about a week and a half out from me going. I had the ticket booked and I had about $1,000. That's all I had. And I'm like, God, what are we going to do here? And so I was walking around telling people, you know, we're going to Africa, going to do this and do that and the next thing. Walking by faith and not by sight. Amen. Sometimes it's just a matter of resolving in your heart that, hey, God's called me to do this even if I can't see it. Even if I can't see it. So we went and had dinner with some friends. And we'd had dinner with these friends 4 or 5 times. They were actually part of our church when we were pastoring. So 4 or 5 times since we'd finished pastoring. It was only a couple of years by that stage. And we were sitting down just talking with them. And never before had they given any inclination that they wanted to be supporting us in ministry in any way, shape, or form. And we weren't trying to solicit funds or anything. They were our friends, you know. We'd pastored them. And anyway, they said, so how's it going for Africa? Because they'd caught news of us going to Africa. And, oh, man, it's going to be awesome. And they knew the missionary who I was going over to work with, who also was connected to our church years ago. And they're in fellowship with him still. And we were talking about it, mutual friends, and talking about kids and that sort of thing. And they said, so have you raised all the funds for Africa? And I said, well, God's got it sorted out. Yeah, but have you actually got the dollars to do it? Well, he's the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. So we're going to go and they're like, have you got enough money to go? And we're like, no. And they're like, how much do you need? Bare minimum, we need about 3, but you know, we probably need about 4. We've got $1,000 there, but it'd be nice for Vicky to be able to eat while I'm gone. You know, kids need food and stuff. So they wrote us out a check, and we walked away. And of that lesson, what I learned was when you drive away, when you hold your faith and you hold onto that word of God and you put every piece of your faith behind that and you do not waver on that little mustard seed of faith, you say, God, here I am and I'm going to stick to what you've told me to do, no matter what comes, no matter what happens. He makes it happen without your own ability. And you will drive away from your encounter sitting at a restaurant with someone or whatever it is that happens to you. And you will say, God, I was claiming it would be your grace beforehand, and now I'm praising you because it is your grace now. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. And when he does that, the grace of God is upon you, and the hand of God is with you, and you say, and you walk away, and he has provided that thing. The sense of God's grace, you guys would be able to testify to this 1,000 times over, I'm sure, and many others in this room, but the sense of gratitude that came into my heart, not because God had provided and I'd seen a miracle, it's because I felt the love of my Father toward me as his son, and that was all it is. And I believe that at the end of the day, he calls us into relationship, we walk with him in relationship, we hold on to him by sometimes those very thin threads of what we believe to be the will of God, but he makes it happen, amen. He gives the increase. He gives the glory. He takes black spots out of little kids' lungs, amen. He opens people's ears up. He takes cancer out of people's lives. He brings in the multitudes. And you know what? We get to be a part of that journey. And isn't that awesome? We get to be a part of that journey. Now, verse 18 goes on here and it says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory. Praise God that yesterday's victories saw the hand of God on them. But yesterday is yesterday, and yesterday is gone, and yesterday's glory sits on yesterday's date. But my Bible's telling me here that he takes us from glory to glory, amen. So what we saw in Costa Rica last weekend, let's believe to see more next weekend here at church, amen. For the grace of God that we saw yesterday, that was yesterday's glory. He's taken us from glory to glory, and in the future we're going to see even greater things. That's how Jesus could say, those who believe in me in my name are going to see greater miracles than I've done. When I first read that and I heard my pastor preach it, I was incensed. Like, I love my pastor, but I was incensed. How can anyone say they're going to do greater miracles than Jesus? He's Jesus, you know, that's Jesus. But then over, as you know, I've matured a little bit in Christ over the years, I understand that his heart, he couldn't preach the gospel to every tribe and nation and tongue in the earth in God's plan. I mean, he could have lived forever and gone and preached to every village. But in God's wisdom, he's chosen us, amen? And he's given us the Spirit that we would walk as he walked. And that essence of going from glory to glory, let's believe, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, that these are your greatest days of your life, amen? We are going to see a move of God today that like we've never seen before. We're going to see a move of God tomorrow that's even going to eclipse all of the things that have come before us in the past. And I love how the verse finishes. It says, verse 18, and even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This only happens by the Spirit of God, hey? Praise God that he is at work. And you know, when we believe to see God at work around us, when we lay hands on the sick at our office or at the gym, you know, I was at a dinner party last night, and there was a man there who was 82 years of age, and he had terminal cancer. He had prostate cancer. And I was just sitting there talking with him and telling him how my life changed when I was 21. I met Jesus and everything was changed. And he was from a more traditional church background, a denominational church background. And I was just talking with him and he was telling me about his cancer. And I told him, hey man, we've seen God heal cancer. Could I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, I'd love you to. And he starts welling up with tears. You know, sometimes what we carry, we don't realize how much it means to the people who don't have it. The riches that we have, man, they are so powerful. When I first got saved, I used to pray for people in the pub. I went away on a mission trip to Papua New Guinea, saw God healing people, just thought that's what happened. Come back, started praying for people. God started healing people in the pub. I start witnessing over the bar and realize I can't really lead this guy to Christ right here. So meet me around the corner, I'll lead you in the sinner's prayer. So I go around the corner, start leading him, and get back to the bar, start pouring the beers again. And that's just the way life was for me because I realized that God's not just the God of these four walls, hallelujah. He's the God of all creation. And wherever we find ourselves, we can just reach our hands into someone else's world and believe for them, amen. So I pray for this guy. I don't know, I haven't heard anything back from him. He didn't say he felt anything. But you know what? I want to be the kind of guy that just reaches into someone else's world wherever I find myself. I was sitting was having a break from a conference in Brisbane. It was a financial planning conference. You know, I guess sometime in life you got to deal with that. We were dealing with that there, and we're sitting down at lunch break at the cafeteria of this great big convention center in Brisbane City. And there's a man there who's got a pacemaker in, and he grew up again in a very denominational background. I could tell you story after story about this, but I said to him after a long chat, I said, hey, would it be okay with you if I prayed for you that things would stabilize and normalize with your heart? Bang, he breaks into tears and starts crying. And this is Australian men, they don't really break open into tears very much. They're pretty tough and, you know, they've got a pretty thick skin. Breaks open into tears there, and his wife's there and she's in tears. We pray for them. Sometimes those little links of opportunity and those little links of hope that you can offer people are so much bigger to a world that doesn't have those links than what we realize. We think, oh, what could I offer God? What could I give? Well, it's not about what you can give. It's about when you open that doorway, the Holy Spirit comes in, amen? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This only happens by the working of the Holy Spirit. We're partnering with the Holy Spirit. We are the vessel. We are the donkey that the prophet sits upon. You know, we've got nothing. All we can do is carry the Word of God. And when we release that Word, He comes in and changes things. Amen. I want to take you to one more verse before we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So we're just going to run up the chapter a little bit. Verse 5, Paul says this, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence is from God. Every time that voice tells you, you're not good enough to serve God, you say, I know. I'm okay with that too. I know I don't have what it takes, but my competence comes from God. So that I don't carry my competence around with me in my pockets like I've got everything that I need and here I am because I'm so wonderful. I realize that I don't have what I need. Amen? And we don't have what we need as believers. We roll up and wait for that moment of encounter. And when it happens, what we need hits the other person. Amen? And we sit there and go, isn't God amazing? Hallelujah. It's not dependent on us. We don't have competence from ourselves. So we stop trying to become competent and we reconcile that issue of pride and we say, God, here I am. I'm going to serve you anyway. Hallelujah. We go on in this little verse that we can't, where our competence comes from God. And He has made us ministers. He has made us, as competent ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Our ministry is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to other people. So that means you're the minister of something that you don't have. You're the carrier of something you don't carry. You're the deliverer of something you can't hold, because your ministry is to open up the doorway for the Holy Spirit to do the ministry. Hallelujah. You can't heal. I remember praying for a guy one time. He had serious brain issues. He had aneurysm in his brain. He had leaking blood in his brain, two places. And as I was praying for him, I had my hands over his head like this, getting a bit aggressive. And the Holy Spirit told me, prophesy over his brain. And I could see the words coming out of my mouth and penetrating into the issue. And you're going to see it in my spirit. So I did that and I started yelling into the top of his head. That's just what the Holy Spirit showed me to do. So I did that. But as I was doing that, I had this thought run through my brain. And I know it was like a terrorist attack on my brain from the enemy. And it was just, who do you think you are to pray? You can't change the cellular structure of that body. You can't change the atomic makeup of that body. Who do you think you are? But I know that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. Amen. And the life that I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here I am. And I just said, no, I'm going to stay in this moment. And I'm not going to allow that doubt to come in. Because, see, you and I, we've got to reconcile that as much as we want to be able to be carriers of something awesome, and our pride would want to get a hold of that, at the end of the day, we're holders of something that we don't hold. Hallelujah. And all we can do is serve the one who loves those with all of his heart. So we go on, and this verse says here, we're not ministers of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Have you ever seen one of those Christians? Everything sounds right, but there's just something not right. When I grew up in Australia, all the movies that we watched came out of America. We had about half a dozen movies that came out of Australia for my whole childhood. One of them was with Nicole Kidman, and this is called BMX Bandits, but everything else came out of America. But my brother, he's like into martial arts, right? And he got interested in these things. No one had ever heard of them before. They were called ninja. And out of Hong Kong were coming these ninja movies where there was these guys dressed in these weird black things, and they threw ninja stars, and it was all very mysterious. And he was all of about 10 years of age, but these movies were made in Hong Kong. And so what they'd do is they'd get probably like local white guys to speak in Chinese because the movies are made for the Hong Kong market. But then when they brought them to Australia and probably to the American market, they had to do voiceovers over the top. And I'd seen some Chinese movies that had come to Australia where all the Chinese are like, which way did he go? Let's get him. I'd seen that with the Chinese people and the Asian, but I'd never seen it with the white guys. And so the white guys were there, and the white guys are like, so what did the boss say? He told you to go get him. And, you know, I was like, I'm all of about 6 years of age, and I'm looking at my brother, and I'm looking at the show, and looking at Clem, and I'm like, something's wrong with that. And he's like 5 years older than me, and he's like, watch the movie. There's ninjas, man. Watch the ninjas, you know. Look at what, let's go and do what the ninjas did. Yeah, let's go do that in the backyard. Yeah, let's go lay some booby traps, you know, for the dog, you know. And I'm like, but look, something's not right there. And you know, sometimes us Christians they can be like that. Have you ever met a Christian where everything sounded right, but it was like, something's not right with that? They're saying the right stuff, but it's got the wrong spirit inside of it, you know? And that's what it's telling us here. We aren't to be ministers of the letter. We're not to be ones who go up and say, oh, Pastor Mike, the Lord has spoken to me that I'm to pray every day for 3 hours and read 20 chapters of the Bible every day. Pastor Mike, how much do you pray every day? Oh, you only pray for an hour. Oh, is that right? Well, I pray for 3 hours. And how much Bible do you read, Pastor? Oh, you read 10 chapters a day. Praise God for what he's doing in you. But I read 20 chapters a day. See, that's that thing. It's like it looks right and it sounds right, but there's just something fishy going on there. You know what I'm saying? And that's generally when people come into the Christian life, or people have been in Christian life for a long time and they sin. You know, it happens, man. We are flesh and blood, and there's an enemy that's out to get us, and people get tripped up and bad stuff happens, and Christians end up laying in the mud. Who needs someone coming over and saying, oh, you shouldn't have cheated on your wife, don't you know the Bible talks about that? We don't need someone to come along. We need a Christian to come along and say, you know what, God still has a plan for you. God loves you. Get it right with your family. Do it God's way, but he still believes in you. He still sees you that way. See, that Christian that comes along and, oh, you know, the greeters in the car park didn't do the right job and they get all puffed up and they get all so out of whack, and the big issues become the little issues, and the little issues become the big issues. Sometimes it's just like, man, let's just get on with reaching the world out there, amen. Let's not get caught up so much in ourselves. And that sometimes we can fall into the trap. And look, and I know it happens with me too. Like in some ways, in, you know, legalism tries to creep in. We have to keep very short accounts with the voice of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And if he says, your heart's starting to harden up there, we say, okay, God, I want to be a minister of your spirit, not of the letter, amen. Because God's grace and God's power won't meet us when we're being ministers of the letter. Amen. It's only your power, my power. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, and the destiny that is in this room. I pray for the grace of God that is upon each and every family, upon each and every man, each and every woman, each and every child in the name of Jesus. I pray that every person connected and represented here, that the best of your kingdom be upon their lives. I pray, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the days of their lives, Lord God, where they have been beaten down from the past or where they have not allowed their heart to just rise up in faith. I pray for an anointing this day, this hour. Now is the time. Today is the day. I believe it in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you that you see in us more than we can imagine in ourselves. God, help us to understand your heart to us. Help us to understand your power to us. Help us to surrender to your infinite goodness. Help us to understand the value that you placed on us by sending your son to the cross. To live through that excruciating and that agonizing event. To shed his blood so that we could be made pure. Like your word says, he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Your mighty love that won that for us, Lord, help us continue to walk according to the power of what you've done. Not what we can do, God, but according to that voice of faith that stirs in our heart from your Spirit. And Lord, I pray while we're in this place, for each and every soul here, Lord, be there any, be there one, be there ten, be there more or less, who don't know you, who aren't walking with you. I pray, Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of their hearts. Friends, I'm not asking you to respond to me and my preaching and my doctrine today. I'm going to ask you, if you're in this place, to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit to your heart. God, God is real. God is true. God is truthful. God is powerful. God is love. And he wants you. He loves you. He loves you with everything that he has. And he wants you. He wants to know you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. He wants to wash away your shame and your past. He wants to wash away your regrets. He wants to give you a hope and a future. And all you have to do is open your heart and say, I accept what you have for me, God. I accept Jesus to wash away my brokenness and my sin and make me pure in the eyes of God, that I might have fellowship with him, not because of what I've done, but because I've accepted what Jesus did for me. Salvation isn't about your works, it's about Jesus' works. And as you do that, you can respond right here and right now, because the Bible says in John chapter 4 that God is Spirit. We read right here, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty also. And what I'm asking you to do is respond to God's voice of liberty to your heart right now. It's going to make you pure. The Bible says right here that he makes us to be born again. This is the kind of birth it is. It's a spiritual birth by his Spirit on the courts of your heart, on the depth of the inner man, not the outer man. You do that right now if that's you, because God loves you and he's speaking to you. But Jesus said this. He said, if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. And if you don't acknowledge me before man, I won't acknowledge you before the Father. God's a mighty God and he's a dignified God, and he asks for your life. And I'd like you to acknowledge that decision that you've made here today. If there's just one in this place, if there's more, that's awesome. But even if there's one, you got to know this. Most of the people in this room have made this choice before. We've experienced the promises of God, and You're worth us making this moment for. You're worth it. God loves you so much. If that's you here today, you're saying, Tosh, that's me. I want to give my life to God. I've just prayed that in my heart. I want to give that to Him. I want you to be bold and I want you to be courageous, because it takes courage to walk for God. It takes courage to walk for strength and righteousness. I want you to slip up your hand right now and say, Tosh, that's me. I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to God here and now. Is there one here this morning? You want to say, well, there's no one looking around. There's no one gazing around the room. We've got our eyes closed and our head bowed, giving our neighbors just a moment of privacy. Is that you? Just slip up your hand today and say, Tosh, that's me. Pray for me. I want to give my life into God's hands. I want to walk His way. I want to walk away from my past and walk away into my future. Is that you? Just slip up your hand and say, Tosh, that's me. Right here and right now, I'm making a change. I'm trusting in God from here on forwards. I'm not going to push it, because God doesn't push things. But if you got to make that response, you just slip your hand up now and we'll celebrate with you. We'll pray for you right here and right now. Well, that's cool. You know, I haven't seen any hands go up. But if you're here today and you're not walking with the Lord, I want you to know this. He's got your number. And you're here for a purpose today. And when you've got your head on your pillow at night, when you're alone with your thoughts in the shower or in the car or wherever you find yourself alone, He's going to still be speaking to you. That voice of liberty is still going to be rat-a-tat-tat on your heart. So get ready for it and watch out for it, because God's got your number and He loves you. He wants to change everything about your life. He wants to make that which is broken whole and that which is good great. Father, I thank You for each and every one here today. And I pray Your peace and Your blessing upon them. And Lord, as we open up the altars in just a few moments after Pastor Mike closes the meeting, Lord, we pray for the restoration of bodies, the restoration of relationships, the restoration of futures, of destinies, of hope in Jesus' name. I just really sense that God's going to do some things here today in relationships. Last time I was here, we saw the Lord move powerfully in healing in bodies, and I want to believe for that with you. I just believe that God will always do that, because God is always, He's always faithful. But I think if you're struggling with issues in relationships in your life, I really want to pray for you and believe that we're going to see God bring that missing piece that's going to bring that well-roundedness into those areas. I also just sense that there's people here. There's someone here with a problem with their right knee. It's like the ligaments at the back of your knee that run up in here. You've had chronic pain with that, chronic problems with that for quite a period of time, like 6 months to a year. I also sense that there's people here with vision problems, with the eyes, having trouble focusing, and I believe God's going to touch you here today. So praise God for what He's going to do in His Word. But praise God for His faithfulness and His message to us in the gospel. Lord, we pray this morning, as we hand this meeting back to Pastor Mike, that word that You've spoken to us over our destinies, breathe to us, Lord, fresh winds from heaven, fresh anointing about what You're calling us to do, that we would see and believe and walk in the promises of God, that we would know and witness with our own eyes the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that we would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, according to Your word that lives within us, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone who believed said, Amen. Amen. Praise.